You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us, and welcome to another edition of Answers Network. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and each week, this show will address many ways of creating greater health, joy, and love for you and those you care about. We will introduce you to top professionals and talented authors who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, I'd really appreciate it if you could all do me a big favor. Please forward this show to your social media group and to someone you know who can benefit from today's subject. And I guarantee you, everybody knows someone that can benefit from today's subject. This is just one powerful way that we can make a positive difference together. Now, I want you all to know that I am truly grateful that you take your time to listen to or watch this show, and especially those that send in questions, comments, reviews, and suggestions. Because please remember, this show exists for you. Now, if you haven't gotten your free copy of the Attitude of Gratitude Journal yet, please go to our website at answers.network and download a copy. Give it 21 days and comment on whatever platform you listen to us on, what focusing on gratitude has meant for you and your loved ones. And if you would like to, also please send in some questions that you have for us. If you send them into the website, we will put them on the air and we will share them with everyone. Now, as many of you who know me or have listened to this show for some time, I believe that the best way for us to make a positive difference in the world is to start with our young people. Well, our guests today are doing just that. So I am grateful to have with us Jeff, Kathy, and Kara Long. Jeff is a film producer and director. He has helped Fortune 500 companies market, sell, and explain their products and services to many people all over the world. He has taught at Columbia College in Hollywood and wrote the book, A Parent's Guide to Anorexia. Jeff agrees with the Mark Twain quote, "The two most important days of our life are the day that you were born and the day that you discover why." Now, helping teens and families heal from mental health issues is what he has discovered is his why. Kathy is a licensed acupuncturist and has been in practice for over 25 years. She believes in the ripple effect and knows that by improving the life of one person, you impact many, and has seen this firsthand in her medical practice. She also loves working outside, spending time with the family animals and the ladies in her book club. Jeff and Kathy's daughter, Kara, is a student at the University of California, Davis. She is a mental health advocate with a passion for psychology and helping others. After spending years in treatment for anorexia nervosa, depression, and anxiety, she strives to share her experience with teens who are currently struggling. She works at an intensive outpatient treatment program and speaks to groups frequently on mental health issues. All three are co-founders of the nonprofit organization TeensForTeensHelp.org, an innovative peer-to-peer platform for young people seeking recovery. Well, Long family, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So as I was sharing a little bit with you prior to us going on the air, I have said for many, many years that the best way that we're going to be able to make a difference is for us to start with our young people. I love that you are doing this, but share with us what your inspiration was for starting Teens for Teens Help.
Our inspiration was our daughter, Kara, and our entire family. We went through, Kara's mental health crisis as a family, and it wasn't easy.
No, not easy at all.
We spent about 5 years, going to residential programs, treatment centers, hospitals, and we didn't know anything about this subject when we started, and it was incredibly difficult. My father is a child psychologist, and so I remember at the beginning of high school when Kara was in ninth grade or starting high school, I said, "Dad, she's wearing black. She's talking in, one-word sentences. The answer is mostly fine," which I decoded as F, I'm not explaining. And, you know, what do we do? And he said, well, how are her grades? And he said, she's getting straight A's. And he said, oh, it's a phase. Don't worry about it. But my father didn't know anything about anorexia and eating disorders. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we took Kara to a therapist, and that's kind of when the wheels fell off.
Yeah, we, we learned the hard way that when you work on different issues, when you work on one, another one kind of pops up, and we described it as whack-a-mole. And so when she was working on her depression, then the eating disorder mm-hmm. kind of got out of control. And it got to the point where we took her into the doctor, and the pediatrician said she needs to go into treatment center now.
Yeah, she was down to 32 heartbeats a minute, which is very dangerous.
Yeah, wow. So we were absolutely floored and lost and confused and sad and didn't know what to do or where to turn. So we eventually got her rather quickly into a treatment center and started the process. And also nobody told us that, you know, when they let you go after 30 days, they dismissed her because she was medically stable. That doesn't mean you're recovered. And we didn't really understand that. And we didn't understand that recovery is anything but a straight line for many issues, and especially eating disorders. Eventually, that's what led to us writing the book, which we can talk about later. But
right. Well, let me ask Kara. So, Kara, at the time in which this is going on, what are you feeling and what are you going through? Because obviously, you're the focus of this at that time, and there's some decisions being made that you may not have been real happy about. How were you taking all of this, and what was your thoughts of having being the person going through all of this?
I mean, there was so much going on. I had been really depressed and wrapped up in my eating disorder and a variety of mental health issues for a long time. And so I was already just in my own world. I already felt like, you know, I was in this bubble, and I was, you know, kind of comfortable, or at least used to being so uncomfortable, so miserable, just constantly, like, you know, wanting to end my life and going through all these feelings. And so when it kind of came to my parents' attention, I felt like, you know, they were like bursting that bubble of like my personal space. And so, you know, my response was to like to push them away, to fight. You know, leave me alone. And when they sent me to therapy, I'm like, that's when I just kind of gave up trying to pretend to be okay, because I didn't know what treatment, I didn't know the residential existed. And so I was like, okay, like, what are you going to do about it now? Kind of attitude. Because I was just so full of this self-destructive energy. And so they offered, you know, they said like, oh, I have to put you into treatment. And my, you know, immediate response was, you know, okay, so I'm going somewhere and I don't have to live at home and I don't have to go to school. It can't be that bad. And I went into treatment, and of course, you know, everything exploded, and it was, you know, terrifying and painful, and I was just kind of stuck in this tornado. And so I didn't really know what was going on. I had never learned anything about, you know, mental health issues. I didn't know that what I was going through was something that can happen to people. I didn't know like how eating disorders worked. I thought that was just kind of who I was and part of my life. And I don't know what all these people are doing, trying to analyze me and, you know, poking and prodding. And it was a lot of overwhelm, and confusion.
Okay. And so when you got to the program and when you mentioned at one point, you said, well, you know, I'm not going to have to go to school and I'm not going to have to live at home, so it can't be all that bad. What was your initial, what did you expect? What did you think that was going to be happening?
That was the thing, is I hadn't thought that far. I didn't have any expectations. They just kept referring to it as a higher level of care. And, you know, again, like I had never learned about any of this stuff, learned about mental health or how treatment worked. And so I was just like, oh, I go and I live at this place for a little while. Okay. You know, I didn't realize that that meant like daily therapy and going through the process of refeeding, which was so painful and so stressful. And, you know, like my mom was saying, these problems are like whack-a-mole. And so it's like, once I started addressing my eating disorder, like I became more depressed, I became more suicidal. And so, I kind of went into it with, you know, no impression. And again, it's just that confusion.
So Jeff and Kathy, share with our audience, because I know that we have a lot of parents that listen. Share with the struggle that you went through in making this very important decision.
Well, the decision was kind of made for us, honestly. The struggle was before we had to put her into treatment, when it was just, we didn't know what to do. And, you know, how much do you chalk up to just, you know, teenage angst? And this is what mm-hmm. kids go through. And, you know, they're discovering themselves, and they're, you know, they naturally push against their parents because they're being an individual. And so, you know, at what point does that behavior then become something that really needs to be addressed? And that's a difficult road to navigate. But for us, you know, it was a physical thing. There was the bottom line, which was this has to happen. So we're really lucky that we had a pediatrician with experience with eating disorders and an understanding mm-hmm. of the severity of them, and just kind of took the bull by the horns for us and said, this is what you have to do.
But emotionally, it was so difficult to, you know, put your child with somebody else to care for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the worst days, there were a few, but one of the worst ones was just dropping her off and leaving and, you know, hoping that these people really were going to take care of my child and help her down that road to recovery.
And that, you know, there's feelings of, you know, shame and confusion and, you know, we just never encountered anything like this. So it was all new and, you know, we didn't know anything about eating disorders and anorexia. And so we had a lot to learn, and we did, but it was not easy. And I remember for the first couple of years, I just said, look, I'm fine. I'll just be the dad and I can get through this. Well, after 2 years, there was nothing left. And that's when I finally started going to support groups, Al-Anon, NAMI, you know, and started doing some self-care, because if you don't put on your own oxygen mask first, you can't help anyone else. And yeah. It's really important that parents and teens get support groups, because you can't do it alone.
Yeah.
So, Kara, at what point did you feel like you turned the corner to where you were understanding better and you felt like, okay, I now know who I am, where I'm at, and I've turned the corner and there are much brighter days ahead?
Gosh, that's a difficult question. You know, it was a long and bouncy road and it took me quite a while. The experience that I can, you know, think of that matches kind of most to that like turning point was when I was at my third residential facility. And I was, you know, I've been working with the therapist for a while and I was finally starting to get it, because at my other residentials and my other treatment centers, I was very combative. And I was very much like, don't control me, you know, I don't want to change, leave me alone, I'm not going to do this. And so I finally got tired of, you know, fighting, and I started being honest and I started opening up. And I had this specific therapy session outside. And it was just this really nice day out, and I was talking with my therapist, and I had this kind of overwhelming sensation, like this light came in, and it was kind of like the flip of a switch. And I thought to myself, like, you know, maybe suicide's not the answer. Because like that was kind of my whole thing, is like throughout this journey, that was like my underlying you know, I guess kind of, you know, goal, you could say. Because I was just like, okay, fine, I'll go through treatment and then, you know, I can just end my life. Like I have, you know, all the plans, it's set. That's the only way that, you know, I see my life going. You know, just very black and white. And so it was just kind of this realization, like, maybe it doesn't necessarily have to end like that. Like, maybe I can at least try to, you know, listen to these people, because it's like, I know what it's like to be sick and to be struggling, but everybody keeps talking about this like recovery, and I don't know what that is. So I might as well like give it a shot, because quite frankly, I feel like it can't get any worse than this. And so it was through that kind of willingness to be vulnerable and to just kind of give myself you know, the benefit of the doubt, like there's an opportunity for change.
Did you find that it was a benefit when you went to some of these programs and spoke with some of the other young people there, that you weren't alone in some of these struggles?
Yeah, I mean, it was huge, huge. Just like, you know, when I said my first, you know, time in treatment, I didn't know what to expect because, like, all I knew was this is just who I am, right? And so I get there and I meet people and I'm like, oh, there are other people like me. Like, oh, these are, you know, problems that people have. Like, this is, you know, another illness. It's not just this, you know, it's not just that I'm like a faulty human, right? Mm-hmm. And so it was super helpful. I got to meet people, you know, my age, in my position, I could relate to, and I could like talk to, and we gave each other strength